Are you ready this morning?
Yes.
Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Welcome to River of Life, friends and guests. We're glad you're here this morning. And for those that are listening online, hallelujah. Woo! Sense God's presence. Are you ready? Ready to receive the word of the Lord? Yes. So thankful to be here this morning, thankful to be with all of you, and thankful for God and for Him bringing us through another week. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. And we're trusting the Lord to deliver our friends in India. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And we just pray a shield of protection over America that whatever it is, variant does not come here in Jesus' name. Lord, help us. So we curse COVID-19. Amen?
Amen?
Amen, amen. And so we just thank God that He has kept us this far, right? Hallelujah. And we see this turnaround, and then you hear all this in India, and this fear tries to come back on you. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed the oppression of the enemy? You know, it's been really strong, really, really strong, because the enemy wants to oppress the people of God. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Hallelujah. And so let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your presence this morning. We thank you for every man, woman, and child you brought into this house today. Bless each one of them. Encourage them. Draw each one of us closer to you. And I thank you, Lord, that you are doing a great work on the inside of us. And today, Lord, as we go to your word, we thank you, Father, that you break off the limitations that the enemy is trying to put on us and those that we've put on ourselves. So, Lord, I pray for revelation. I pray for wisdom. I pray that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened. Open the eyes of our heart, Lord, that we will see from the inside out instead of the outside in. Hallelujah. Let us see, Lord, on our own insides. Shine the light on us today. Can you tell the Lord, shine the light on me? Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. And hallelujah. Remember, you said, shine the light on me, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're going to get going this morning. And the message title is Breaking Limitations. And so we're going to go to Acts chapter 10. And verses 36 through 38. And you can read it along with me here at the River of Life. We like to read the Word of God together. So let's read it together. The Word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That Word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began with Galilee, after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Jesus went about healing all who were oppressed by the devil. People were oppressed by the devil in Jesus' time, and people are oppressed by the devil in our time. Jesus went about preaching peace. The gospel of the kingdom is a gospel of peace, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. So as we study the scripture and as we look at demonic oppression in our own lives and what we see going on in the world today, we know that Jesus Christ is the God of peace. And the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath our feet. You see, the peace of God is for you and I. The peace of God is a weapon that we use against destruction, a weapon that we use against the trials and temptations in life. Because when we have the peace of God, we know Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And ultimately, in the end, Jesus has the last say. Amen? Does that give you peace that Jesus Christ has the last say? And he's Lord of everything. Everything. So God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power. It's that dunamis power, that miraculous power, ability, abundance, meaning, mighty, working, miracles, power, strength. It's a wonderful working power. And that same Spirit dwells in us. And the word peace comes from the Greek word that actually means prosperity. One, peace, quietness, rest. And it means to set at one again. You see, when you don't have peace in your life, things are out of order. There's chaos. We see chaos in our cities. We see chaos in our government. Things are out of order. When the peace of God comes, he makes it one again. When things are not in order in our soul, there's chaos. But when Jesus Christ comes, who is the lover of our soul, the healer of our soul, he makes us at one again with him. The only way we're going to have peace is to be at one with the Father and at one with one another. God blesses unity, and he dwells in the midst of unity. God does not dwell in the midst of chaos. He is not the author of chaos, but he is the author of peace. Hallelujah. Demonic oppression. Let's get a definition as we go. To be oppressed is to exercise dominion against. So wherever you encounter domination, it's something demonic. It's something satanic. Because God does not rule his people with domination. He does not dominate anyone. God has never made you do anything. Is that right? He convicts us. He talks to us. He doesn't dominate us or control us. We have a free will. And that's the way God set it up. But Satan's ambition is to dominate the world. And we see him at work today in the world to bring his kingdom of darkness into full manifestation. It's manifesting. Have you seen the kingdom of darkness manifesting? We see it in the streets. We see it in the governments. We see it across the world. The kingdom of darkness is manifesting. Destruction and chaos comes from the enemy. It is fruit from the power of darkness. So let's go on with our definition. Oppressed is to burden with cruel or unjust impositions or restraints. Subject to a burdensome or harsh exercise of authority or power. It's a government that wants total control. It also means to lie heavily upon the mind of a person, like care or sorrow oppress them. Have you ever had that feeling where you're feeling oppressed, you're feeling pushed down? Anybody? Wave at me. Help me out this morning. I got to know I'm in the right place. Hallelujah. It also means to weigh down as sleep or weariness does. To put down, to subdue or suppress. To press upon or against, to crush. You see, oppressed people often have a crushed spirit. So demonic oppression is the term used to represent the pressure exerted by demons to get us to sin or to keep bound in limitations. Usually, they have an open door to gain access to us. So we know that our wrestling match today is not with flesh and blood. Ephesians 6:12 says that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And then the scripture says, therefore, because we're not wrestling with people, with flesh and blood, because we're wrestling with principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, God provided for us a spiritual armor, where our wrestling match is in the spirit. Has anybody noticed that? We look beyond the natural circumstances to what is really going on behind the scenes. What is really stirring up this trouble? You know, people sometimes will come against us, and that is normally not how they are. And you wonder, what is going on? Or things begin to stir up at work, and people get all stirred up. And people start coming against people. Well, what is going on? What is the spirit behind that? Because the enemy always comes to cause chaos and conflict and confusion and to put people at odds. He is a divisive enemy, and he will divide and conquer. He will continue to try to divide races. He will continue to try to divide this nation so that he can conquer us. Jesus said, a house divided cannot stand. We need Jesus Christ, and we need to recognize the enemy when he's trying to divide husbands and wives. I remember one time Leonard and I were asked to go down and preach at Apostle Leon's, and on the way down there, we got in this big fight. And it was over something really stupid. And we were going along, and all of a sudden I said, Leonard, we normally would not argue like this, nor over something stupid. You know, it's kind of like those arguments that really, what difference does it make? But neither one, the husband or the wife, they do not want to give in. Somebody say amen. Amen. You know I'm talking to you this morning. They don't want to give in. And so when we realize this is the enemy trying to cause division between us, to divide us before we go in to Apostle Leon's to minister. Because the enemy will always divide and conquer. Husbands and wives united together in prayer and agreement have the power, the most powerful covenant here on earth. And that's why the enemy always tries to put you at odds with each other. Over stupid stuff. Tell your spouse it's stupid stuff. So our wrestling match is not with flesh and blood. It's in the spirit realm. And God has given us spiritual equipment. Jesus announced in the synagogue this passage on healing and deliverance. In Luke 4, 18 through 19, let's read it together. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And in verse 21, it says, and he began to say to them, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus was announcing that the Messiah had arrived. And he was there to heal the brokenhearted and to set the captive free and to deliver those who were being oppressed. So deliverance from demonic oppression was a normal part of Jesus' ministry. As he showed us, the Father's desire is to bring peace into our life. It is to set at one again. And when couples argue, it's like when you come back together and you make up and things are set at one again. Once again, you have peace in your body, soul, and spirit. Is that right? Are you able to do that? If you're not, you need to come see me for counseling. Hallelujah. Jesus accomplished this goal that he announced in Luke. Over a fourth of his gospel accounts of Jesus' ministry, in one way or another, was setting people free from demonic oppression. And when Jesus cast out demons, it wasn't like this strange hidden part of his ministry. He didn't go to the basement of the synagogue to do this. Jesus cast out demons in front of everyone, and people were amazed at the deliverance that came as Jesus was ministering. So it's a normal part of ministry, because Jesus wanted to show the Father's love for his people. He wanted them to be whole. He wanted healing to come to them. In 3 John, this scripture isn't on your PowerPoint, but in 3 John 1:2, it says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." Ministry to the soul is one of the most important ministries. This is what Jesus did on the earth. Yes, he healed diseases. He healed bodies. But he ministered to the soul of men and women. There's a debate among Christians as to whether or not a Christian can have a demon, or if they can be exposed to satanic activity. But when we consider the fact that we were all sinners before God mercifully, by grace and faith, saved us. So Satan had plenty of time to infiltrate and oppress us before we changed kingdoms. How many here have changed kingdoms? You've gone from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Hallelujah. So before we did that, there was plenty of opportunity for the enemy to work on us. Would you agree? And also add to that the ancestral sins with resulting curses. We add to that the ungodly beliefs, which are lies that we believe about ourselves, lies that we believe about our identity and who we are. And also lies or ungodly beliefs that we believe about other people. And then there's the hurts and the wounds in our souls. How many's been hurt once or twice? Yes, it doesn't feel good. And only Jesus can touch that area of our life. Jesus is the good shepherd. He is the one that watches over our souls. So even though the Holy Spirit does come into us at the time of salvation, and even though some deliverance does frequently occur at that time, it's a mistake to conclude that as Christians we are totally free from demonic oppression at salvation. We agree, however, with those who contend that Christians cannot be possessed by demons, because possession indicates ownership. We cannot be possessed by demons if we are saved, bought with the blood of Jesus, because we belong to God and our owner is God. But that doesn't stop demonic oppression from coming that harasses us, torments us. The woundings come into our soul, and then if we're not careful, we open doors and we allow demonic oppression to come into our lives. Am I making sense to you this morning? So we know from the scripture and the accounts that of Jesus' ministries that demons affect people today, and they affected people in Jesus' time. And these are their goals. Demons have goals. The first one is to prevent someone from receiving salvation. The enemy holds on really tight to people. He does not want them delivered from the kingdom of darkness. He'll put all these doubts even in your mind when you have some dark areas in your soul that need to be renewed, that God needs to breathe life into. He will speak lies into your life to keep you from receiving the truth. Most of the time we'll say, well, that doesn't apply to me. You hear that little voice? That doesn't apply to me. Or, I don't need that. Well, why would I do that? I don't need to do that. Well, I'm not going to submit to any kind of ministry like that. I'll just go to Jesus on my own. All right. It's kind of like a child that says, I will do it myself. When you know perfectly well the child is not capable of doing it themselves. They need the help of someone who's a little more experienced in that area, because we are totally blinded to our own faults. Do you know that? We walk around thinking we're all that. Am I talking to anyone this morning? We can have a self-righteous, pious attitude that I am all that when we are not. The Lord says that stinks. He said self-righteousness is like filthy rags. A filthy rag was a menstrual cloth that a woman had worn and was dirty. That's what that's like to the Lord when we are so self-righteous and stuck on ourselves. He hates it. He despises it. God looks for a humble person that says, Lord, I need your help. It's like in the synagogue, the Pharisee stands up and prays, oh, I'm so thankful I'm not like that sinful man. And then you have the humble man that comes in and said, Lord, I've sinned. I humble myself before you. You know, if it was not for God to give us breath this morning, we would not be here today. If it was not for Him giving you strength, you would not be sitting in the pews. One of the most difficult things and takes the most muscles in your body is to sit there. Did you know that? It takes a lot of muscle to sit and hold your body in place. Good thing we have something to rest our blessed assurance on, right? Demons will also try to prevent Christian maturity. Oh, they work hard to keep us from growing up. We throw fits. We act out. It's interesting because I know when people are reaching that point where God wants to change something in their life and mature them, often they will leave this church. Because when you come here, the Spirit of the Lord begins to work on your soul. God is looking for a mature bride. He's not marrying a child. He's looking for a mature bride. And so we're maturing and growing together. And often people, when they're right at their breakthrough, you'll see them take off and run. Well, you know that's the devil. You know that's the devil, but people have their own free will. They can do what they want to do, what they choose to do. I usually let them know I think they left prematurely. Or someone from leadership will talk with them. But if they decide to go, that's their choice. But when you stay, you're going to receive all that God has for you. And He wants to heal your soul. He wants to mature you. He wants to teach you how to handle difficult situations. We just can't pass it off anymore. You know, when you're a kid, you pass it off to your parents to handle those tough things. Well, now the Lord wants us to handle them and grow up in Him. The demons also work to make us ineffective. Well, if He can make your life ineffective, then all the people God has called for you to affect is never going to receive what's on the inside of you. So the devil puts limitations on us to keep us from breaking out and reaching the world and reaching the neighborhood and reaching those around us. He'll continue to put limitations on us. And if we come into agreement with them, then we are demonically oppressed. All kinds of reasons come into your mind. And also, they try to get you to turn away from God. They set a trap. They'll lure you. They'll bring old friends back into your life. They'll bring company on Sunday so that you stay home with your company instead of bringing them to church. There was a time, I believe, in our culture that we would not have even thought of staying home because we had company. If you showed up at our house, you knew you're going to church with us. Church is a priority. Church, the gathering of the people of God, is so important. We can't, like, just push it off. Or we open a door for demonic oppression. The enemy will use any door he can to get in. John 10:10 says this. Let's read it together. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Once again, here we see the contrast of two kingdoms. We see what the kingdom of darkness does, and we see what the kingdom of light does. Jesus came to give us life. That Greek word means life with an advantage. We have an advantage because the God of the universe is on our side. The God of the universe is with us. The God of the universe releases his angels to encamp around us. We are camped with angels. Open your eyes. God has released the angels of the Lord to those who fear him. And then we have the kingdom of darkness that came to steal, kill, and destroy. And so demons are out to do the same thing that their leader does. And that's steal, kill, and destroy, and lie. Their leader is the father of lies. He lies and lies. He gets Pinocchios for all the lies he tells. And the sad thing is often we believe them. So they want to steal from you at every level within your personality, your human personality, your body, your soul, your spirit. And they can only do that if there's an open door of access. So we're going to take a look at what some of those open doors are. And this teaching comes from our Restoring the Foundations teaching. We have a Restoring the Foundations ministry, and it is issue focused. And if something's stirring in you and you are stuck in an area, we encourage you, go through RTF. We have ministry teams that are trained to do this, and it is a powerful ministry. Who's been through RTF and received deliverance and healing? Powerful ministry. Many people are trained. We need to do another class. I get a lot of other churches requesting our classes. Hallelujah. We do a lot of ministry to other saints in the area. But in the area of body, there's appetites, lust, gluttony, sex, clothes, etc. Addictions, pornography, internet, shopping, overeating, sports, gambling, TV. There's illnesses, cancer, arthritis, epilepsy, asthma, incurable diseases, bodily states of sleeplessness, sleepiness, lethargy, pain, nervousness. Satan takes advantage of the weak and vulnerable. When a person has an illness or is diagnosed with an incurable disease, the enemy will come and torment you. And those who are strong, this is why we pray for one another. We're to surround one another when there is a sickness and an illness that comes upon us. We're to surround one another because the enemy does not play fair. He will take advantage of you. And you see, we all have an appetite. But we're talking about appetites that get extreme. And when an appetite gets extreme in any of these areas, then that opens the door for demonic oppression. You know, if you want to sin, if you want to go into excess, the devil will always help you out. He'll always help you out. He'd be right there. He'll be right there. Let me help you. Let me help you with that. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? I'm not saying if these things are going on in your life, you have demons are demonically oppressed. I'm saying there are extremes. You can be sitting in a service and all of a sudden you get so tired that you just can't hold your eyes open. That's demonic oppression. The enemy wants to steal the word from us because he doesn't want us to be free. He doesn't want our limitations broken off of us, because when you have your limitations broken off of you, you are a powerful testimony of the power of God, and other people want what you got. You see, if the enemy can keep you from receiving, then he can keep you from giving. And you were called into the kingdom of God for a purpose. God has a work for you. There's gifts, there's talents that he's placed on the inside of you that God wants to make a demand upon, so that you reach those that he's assigned to you and those that are around you. Mark 1:34 is not on the PowerPoint, but this is what it says. Mark 1:34. So Jesus healed many people who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons. But because the demons knew who he was, he did not allow them to speak. They knew who he was, and they would call out his name, and he did not want them to speak. We're going to look at how demons work. Let's go to the next slide. Okay. In our mind, they torment. There's thoughts of accusation, temptation, distraction, terror, insanity, death. Sometimes there's blocked memories, forgetfulness, lethargy, compulsive thoughts, blocked understanding of God's word. Demonic oppression will come into our minds. And all of a sudden, I don't know if you've ever had this happen, but somebody wants to meet with you, and all of a sudden you have all these thoughts. Well, what did I do wrong? Well, what did they hear? What do they want to talk to me about? Am I in trouble? Have you ever experienced that? Or am I the only one? Come on. Come on. Some people will call you and not even give you a clue. I want to talk to you. It's like, okay, I think I'm in trouble. You know, it sounds like my mother. Hello. But anyway, they will torment your mind. And then there's the temptations. And there's so many distractions. Anyone been distracted lately? So many distractions. We have so many things available to us to allow us to be distracted. Is that right? Okay, and then there's the soul, the will. Weak will, a will that has no follow-through, that is passive, a weak-willed person. You're a big pushover. Passive. It's very dangerous to be passive in the kingdom of God. It is a very difficult thing. A difficult place to be if you're passive with a weak will. Because then you do not grow up. Because everybody makes decisions for you. Is that right? Often that extends back into childhood somewhere, where parents or caregivers were very controlling. They made all your decisions. They didn't teach you how to make decisions. So you never really grew up. And you don't know how to handle yourself as an adult, but you're in an adult world. Does that make sense? Okay, soul emotions. Our emotions can become very exaggerated. It's an exaggerated state of fear or anxiety, anger, rage, shame, rejection, grief that is overextended or out of proportion. It's out of proportion. I don't know if you've ever woke up in a state of fear or in a state of anxiety. But you don't have to raise your hand. But if you've ever experienced that, you wake up and you go, what is going on? Well, there are things that go on in our body that are biological, but there are also things, remember, we're wrestling not with flesh and blood, but we're wrestling in the spirit realm. And so when you go to bed at night, it's good to close all those doors to make sure you're with God as you end your day, because God watches over us when we sleep. Sleep is an amazing thing. Some people have a hard time sleeping, but if you do sleep, you know, you're just out. You're out. If God, it's like being unconscious. If God doesn't watch over us and his angels, anything could happen, right? And so you close all those doors in Jesus' name to protect your household as you lay down to rest. Lots of stories, but we have to go on. All right, so spirit. In our spirit, there's always that attempted prevention of salvation. We talked about that. But there can also be spiritual lethargy to the point that you just don't even care, that you don't want to learn about God. You don't want to grow in Christ. You don't have a desire to study or read his word or be with the people of God. There's something wrong. There's something going on that is much greater than just the feeling of, oh, I don't want to do it. And then there's doubt of salvation. People will get into doubt of their salvation. Am I really saved? Did Jesus really save me? Did I say that prayer correctly? Did I say that prayer in such a way that Jesus really accepted me? I don't feel saved. I don't think I'm saved. It just goes on and just torments him. Many of you probably don't know this, but Martin Luther, who wrote the thesis and attached them to the door, he had obsessive compulsive disorder, and that was what he dealt with his whole life, was the doubting disease that he was not saved. And it drove him to study, and it drove him to seek God and to just continually reach out to God. It was so tormenting to him. But finally, he realized that the just are saved by faith. It wasn't whether or not he did all of the assignments in the Catholic Church perfectly. It didn't matter. It wasn't about that. It was about his heart and his relationship with God. And that set him free from this doubting disease that he was not saved. Thank God for Martin Luther and his OCD. Hallelujah. Because it drove him to a place where it brought benefit to the entire body of Christ. Do you see that? Hallelujah. So they can also cause unbelief, can affect, harass, prevent maturing, but they can never take over a Christian spirit. So let's just talk a few minutes about how demons enter. Since demons are bullies, we kind of wonder how do they decide who they're going to pick on? You know, is it like the IRS who suddenly wants to check your income tax return? Just spontaneously, I'm going to check you. Demons do target people, but there are reasons, because of specific open doors. And let's look at Genesis 4, 6 through 7, which is the story about Cain, because he was so upset that his brother's offering was preferred over his. And so in Genesis 4, 6 through 7, let's read it together. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." So in general, it is our opening of the door that allows sin and the accompanying demons to come in. The exception is when demons come with our family inheritance. There are demonic spirits that are passed from generation to generation to generation. And it's just like when you go to the doctor will say, has anyone in your family had heart trouble? Has anyone in your family have diabetes? Has anyone in your family had cancer? Have you ever had that test? That quiz? You get it a lot. Well, the same thing happens in the spirit realm. And when you go through Restoring the Foundations ministry, we take a look at the ancestral patterns that are in your life so that we can pray with you to break the power of those sins and cut off the demons that were assigned to your family line. If you notice addiction patterns in your family's life, rage, anger, alcoholism, this is demonic, and it passes from generation to generation. It can be divorce. It can be accident prone. It can be a number of things that you see patterns of in your family's life. Poverty, can never get on top of stuff, always behind, lack, sickness, just constantly sick. It just goes through the family line. When you recognize those generational curses, those cycles, you need help. You need someone to sit down with you and help you pray through that and break that off of you. Otherwise, it comes into your life, affects your family, affects your business. You just leave that door wide open for the enemy to have a heyday in your life. We have a choice to make, church. Jesus Christ gave us provision at the cross. By his stripes you are healed. But no one is healed until they go to the cross and appropriate that provision for them. He said your sins are forgiven. He died to forgive the whole world, but the whole world is not forgiven because you have to go to the cross to appropriate what God did for you to receive it into your life. Am I talking to you this morning, making sense? Thank you, Lord. All right, let's look at those open doors. And another time we'll go into them a little more deeper. But Ephesians 4:26, read it with me. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Now, it takes a mature Christian to be angry and not to sin. Would you agree? Anger is a very powerful emotion. And everybody has it. God has anger. He was so angry he was going to wipe out the children of Israel because they kept going whoring after other gods. That's what he said. You're a bunch of whores going after other gods. He was so angry with them. He was just going to wipe them out. But they had a leader that stood in the gap, Moses, and God didn't wipe him out. But anger is a powerful emotion. It's okay to be angry. It's never okay to sin. It's never okay to take your anger out on the dog and kick it across the room. It's not okay to take your anger out on your children or your spouse. If you're angry, you need to take that to God and you need to deal with it with the person that you're angry at or take care of the situation. Don't take it out on the innocent people that are around you. And that's what usually happens. That causes soul spirit hurts. That causes demonic entrance. I remember... This happened to me twice. I got so angry about a situation, about two different situations. I was so angry. And you know, both times I came down so sick after that. And the Lord said, Janet, you need to get on your knees when you feel like this, not vent and scream. A fool vents his anger, the Lord said. Because everything that's in you goes with that. There is a way to deal with anger. And if you have an anger issue this morning, I am not condemning you in any way whatsoever. I'm just here to say there is hope for you. Jesus has a plan for you. I used to teach anger management, went through a lot of anger management support groups. God can deliver you from anger. He can teach you how to use that anger, that strong emotion, to benefit you, not to destroy you. And see, I would get so angry at someone, and they didn't even care. You know, they could have cared less if I was upset or not. And that's the thing. It was eating me alive. I was getting sick about it, and they could care less. So who's the anger affecting? Yeah, because it just stirs like a pot on the inside of you. So anyway, we'll get off that and go on and read through our open doors. Number one, inherited curses and accompanying demons. We talked about that. Sins of the flesh. We talked some about that. I made the list. And adding on to that list, I forgot gluttony, lust, gossip, strife, bitterness, self-righteousness, criticizing, blaming, judging, and unforgiveness. All that adds to the list. Then we have illnesses and accidents. You see, when we're weak and vulnerable, the enemy will take advantage of us. That's why we need strong Christians to pray for us when we are sick. We all get sick, right? Has anyone here had COVID? Yes, I'm so thankful I'm immune now. Hallelujah. But we need people to pray when we cannot pray for ourselves. And then there's emotional trauma. I think all of us have experienced some emotional trauma. If that isn't healed and taken care of, then it leaves an open door. Five is passive trance state of mind. You see, normally your mind has this protective wall around it, and it's called the will. And that is your ability to say yes to what is right and no to what is wrong. And this is what breaks down when people drink alcohol, and when people take drugs, their will disappears. And they get themselves into all kinds of trouble and make decisions that they normally would not make when they drink in excess. So it's your ability to say yes and to say no. And when the mind is in neutral, in a passive trance state, and all the meditations, the Eastern meditations, they want you to empty your mind, just empty your mind and meditate on this. And as you empty your mind and there is nothing there, there is something that will come in, but it's not God. We do not let our minds go passive. When we meditate on the Word of God. Am I talking to you this morning? There's so much training out there now for meditation. Beware, it's demonic. Because it leads it unguarded and it allows other spirits to come in from another realm. There are spirits in another realm. And hallelujah, we're just going to go on. And then there's the occult involvement. And the occult involvement is looking for power and knowledge in hidden sources. Sources other than the true living God. My source is the Lord. Is that your source this morning? But the occult and the occult activity is brewing. It's risen to the top. To the point that it's just so acceptable. The things I'm talking about is so acceptable in our culture, but totally contrary to the kingdom of God. Tell your neighbor it's totally contrary. Okay, so let's go to 1 John 3:8. And we are going to try to get through this lesson today. Let's read this together. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. So Jesus always dealt with the root cause of sin and suffering. And the way he dealt with that was he defeated Satan on the cross. Satan is a root cause of sin and suffering. And in the name of Jesus and through the blood of Jesus, Satan has no authority over us. And sometimes you just got to remind him. When you're feeling oppressed, when you're feeling that force come in, and I know you are because, you know, Jesus told us to resist the devil. We've got to resist him. We've got to push back. We've got to push back, resist the devil, and he will flee. But he won't go until you submit yourself to God. Hallelujah. So let's take a look at this account of Jesus casting out a devil in Capernaum. And we're going to read in Luke 4, 21 to 28. Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, and he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all so amazed, so they that questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee, and he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. Now, their synagogues were full of religious people. They weren't unsaved people. They were religious people. And Jesus was in there casting out demons. So Jesus combined his casting out demons once again with his normal ministry. He was preaching and teaching in a public worship place. The atmosphere was not a psychiatric office, but the atmosphere is filled with the power and the presence of God, just like it is today. People are healed, delivered, and set free as they come into the presence of God. A few weeks ago, I was asked to help someone out with a counseling session, and when I got there, we sat down and we began praying, and we began listening to all the background that the counselor had already been through with the person. And you know what? This person, he said, "I just keep feeling like I'm going to choke. I keep feeling like I'm going to choke. I don't know what is going on." So I began to pray with him, and this spirit came up out of him and started to sneer at me and spit at me and mock at me. And I've seen that spirit before. I've seen that demon lots of times and cast it out of people. And Jesus Christ, he's the one that casts out demons. I don't do it, but in the name of Jesus, we cast that demon out of him and plead the blood of Jesus over him. And that person was just amazed at the change. He couldn't believe it. He was like, "Wow!" You see, the kingdom of God had come upon him. And that's one of the most exciting things, is to watch the kingdom of God come upon us and to release from us what the enemy has tried to stick to us like Velcro. He'll just stick to us, and we've got to get that off of us and release that in the mighty name of Jesus, because he has come to heal and deliver and set us free from this demonic oppression. It is everywhere. You know, they accused Jesus of casting out demons by Beelzebub. And Jesus told him. He told them, "How can I cast out demons with Beelzebub? It's another demon. You see, a house divided against itself will not stand." Beelzebub was the ruler of demons. And Jesus, He knew their thoughts. He said, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. And then he went on and said, and if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Because you see, they were doing some type of exorcism in Jesus' time. There's always some type of exorcism going on. You might have watched a few movies on it. Scared you to death. Hallelujah. Jesus was very clear that Satan does not have a divided kingdom. The demons work together in strategic order. And they work together from generation to generation to generation. We have got to become wise to the schemes of the enemy. We should not be ignorant of his devices. If he didn't get you, he will try to get your children. Jesus, help us. Matthew 12:28 says, but read it with me. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. So Jesus declares that the kingdom of God has come. In this ministry of delivering people, evil spirits from evil spirits, there's a clash. Sometimes there's a little disruption between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. There's this clash when demons begin to get cast out, because the invisible kingdom of Satan is brought out into the open as people manifest with their demons. As this demon manifested at me, I'm thinking, I remember this demon. I've seen this many times because I've done a lot of work with people who have been in occult abuse, satanic occult abuse, and you recognize the demons, and you recognize that this is a family line. This demon is from a family line, and it's passed down from generation to generation. But there's this clash. The invisible kingdom came out into the open because it's represented by demons. And then the invisible kingdom of God, who is represented by Jesus Christ and those who continue this ministry in his name, we see the manifestation and the demonstration of Jesus Christ when the person is set free from that demonic bondage. Powerful. No one else can do that, church. And the Lord's been talking to me, and he said the church is the answer for what is going on in the world today, because the church is the only one that has the power over demonic activity and power in the spirit realm. But the churches, most Christians have laid down their weapons of warfare, and they're just enjoying themselves, and they're not fighting the fight that God has called us to fight. It's the good fight of faith. It's a fight against the powers of darkness, and the church is the only ones with the answer. Come on, church. We are the only ones that have the authority over all the power of the enemy. When demons are cast out, it's the fulfillment of Jesus' purpose to destroy the works of the devil and evidence that the kingdom of God has come. The coming of God's kingdom includes freedom from demonic oppression, and Jesus' ministry included teaching, preaching, salvation, freedom, healing, and deliverance. Let's go to Mark 1:14-15. Let's read it together. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. John the Baptist had been preparing the people of Israel. He had been preparing the way of the Lord. He was sent before the Lord and he was crying out, repent. Repent. Turn to God. Turn to the Lord in faith and obedience and be baptized. And John was put into prison. He was beheaded and Jesus was released to preach the kingdom gospel. And the kingdom gospel includes deliverance from demons. We're going to take a look at something here because we're getting ready to close. And as we close, we're going to pray through some prayers. One of the things that I have seen that hold people back and keep a limitation on them is soul ties. The tie that binds. Soul ties are invisible ties that bind you to another person. So our focus is on ungodly soul ties that create emotional and spiritual connections with another person that are perverted, dysfunctional, or sexual. Let's look at the definition of a soul tie. Soul ties are an ungodly covenant with another person based on an unhealthy emotional or sexual relationship. This covenant binds the two people together. God honors or recognizes these covenants. He leaves us free to decide when and if we will appropriate his provision to break and cut the ties that release both people. Let's read 1 Corinthians 1, 15 through 17. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So we define soul ties as an ungodly covenant between two people. And this is a very serious situation because God is serious about covenants. A covenant-making and covenant-keeping God, he's very interested in covenants, even when they are with our enemies and are ungodly. So we see this principle in the story about the Israelites and the Gibeonites. And we're going to read this story, just some passages of it. Is anyone familiar with this passage? Joshua 9, 3 through 6, where Joshua made a covenant with the Gibeons. Let's take a look at it. Prefacing this, first Joshua makes a covenant with the Gibeonites, a Canaan tribe, against God's direct commandment to kill all of the people of the nation of Canaan. They were to wipe them out. Do you remember when they went into the promised land? They were to wipe them out. So in Joshua 9, 3 through 6, let's read. But when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard that Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they worked craftily and went and pretended to be ambassadors, and they took old sacks on their donkeys, old wineskins torn and mended, old and patched sandals on their feet, and old garments on themselves, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy, and they went to Joshua to camp at Gilgal, and said to him and to the men of Israel, we have come from a far country. Now, therefore, make covenant with us. And so the enemy did a whole lot to dress himself up and to play the part. Do you notice that? To deceive Joshua. Let's read on. There's a lot that happened in between there. They came and they had a conversation, and you know, you could tell when you read the conversation that the men were like feeling sorry for them. They had traveled so far, and oh, they were so poor, and look at the moldy bread, yeah, on and on. If we're not careful, by our eyes, by what we're hearing, we'll get pulled in and deceived by the enemy, because he will set a trap for you. All right, Joshua 9, 14 through 16. Then the men of Israel took some of their provisions, but they did not ask counsel of the Lord. Do you get that? They did not ask counsel of the Lord. So Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them to let them live. And the rulers of the congregation swore to them. And it happened at the end of 3 days, and they had made a covenant with them that they heard that they were their neighbors who dwelt nearby. Well, it was too late, because the covenant that they made with them was a covenant, an eternal covenant. And King Saul actually attempted to wipe out the rest of the Gibeonites in his reign, but he was, even though he was trying to fulfill that, he had violated a covenant that was made with them. And it caused a curse to come upon them for 3 years of drought. Now, God takes covenants seriously. So the same principle still operates today. And to break them, we have to appropriate God's our provision. We can break a covenant and an agreement that we have made with the gates of hell based upon the finished work of the cross. So let me talk to you just a little bit more, and then we're going to pray about soul ties. Remember, I talked to you about these soul ties. Just imagine, this is just a word picture, just imagine that you have rubber bands on your head. Okay, so, and there's a number of rubber bands attached to your head. And not only are they attached to you, but they're connected to each person that you've had an unhealthy emotional relationship. Now, imagine more rubber bands connecting you with each one of the people that you've had a sexual relationship with. These rubber bands pull. They put pressure on you. And the rubber bands, you know, there might be really thick ones that represent long-term abusive relationships that you found yourself caught in. And then there might be a skinny rubber band that represents a one-night stand you had. Soul ties are formed between people, both before marriage and during marriage. And we are not messing with healthy soul ties between a husband and wife, between family relationships, between godly friends. We are talking about unholy, sinful soul ties that we have connected with. We ministered to a young woman who was in a mental health ward because she was suicidal. And we were asked by friends to go to minister to her. And when we got there, we sit down and talk to her. She's a beautiful young girl. And I know it's bold to ask people this, but I had to ask her about her sexual relationships with other people. And she had had too many to really remember all their names. And so then I began to explain to her about the importance of breaking this soul tie. Because you're connected. It's like, if you can imagine a hula hoop, and everyone in the hula hoop that you've had a sexual relationship or an abusive relationship with or something that's brought hurt into your life, it's pulling you every which way. Because you get pulled this way. This is why women go back into abusive relationships, because they're connected in the spirit realm. We're going to read this next verse in 1 Corinthians 6:14 through 20, and it's from the Message version, and I think it explains it really well. It says, "Until the time, remember that your bodies are created with the same dignity as the master's body. You wouldn't take the master's body off to a whorehouse, would you? I should hope not. There's more to sex than mere skin on skin. Sex is a much spiritual mystery as physical fact. As written in Scripture, the two become one. Since we want to become spiritually one with a master, we must not pursue the kind of sex that avoids commitment and intimacy, leaving us more lonely than ever, the kind of sex that can never become one." So these ungodly soul ties need to be broken. And as we talked to this young woman, she said, "You know, I feel like I'm walking around in cement. My body is so heavy. My feet are so heavy. I can hardly lift my legs up." And so I asked her if she would agree to pray regarding these sexual soul ties. And she said, yes, she would. And so we began to pray, and we ministered to her, and we prayed, and we ministered to her. You know, people have questions, and that's good, and God was moving. And then there's times that, you know, you're so emotional, she could hardly compose herself. But after about an hour, we saw the Spirit of God deliver this young woman, and she was up, and she was walking. She had a smile on her face, and the counselors on the floor could not believe that this was the same person that walked into that place, and the very next day she was released. I'm telling you. We've got to learn about Satan's devices. And you know, we have pasts. We all have pasts. We all were out in the world. But you know, as you grow in Christ, you've got to let go of things. You've got to let Christ cut things off of you, take things away from you. If we don't allow him to do that, he is not able to bring into our life what he has for us in this season, because we're just saying, okay, we'll just keep our limitations, God, and this is just the way I am. Have you ever heard that? Maybe you've said that. This is just the way I am. Oh, maybe you need to take another look at that. Because God has put his stamp upon you. He knows your identity. He holds the blueprint that's on the inside of you. You haven't even seen half of what God wants to do with you. So as we break off limitations today, this is what this is all about. Allowing God to cut those rubber bands, to set us free from the emotions. Come on, if you become one with a person, you emotionally carry their baggage around with you. And so any relationships, sexual relationships, out of the covenant of marriage, you are still connected to that person if you have not asked God to break that tie. Once again, godly soul ties. Just want to reiterate that. We find these in healthy parent-child relationships, in balanced close friendships, and in intimate healthy marriages. And that is what the world needs. Hallelujah. So breaking unholy soul ties will break limitations off of you. And the kingdom of God has come here today to set you free. Forgiveness. We're going to pray a forgiveness prayer. We're going to pray a soul ties prayer. And then I'll release you. Hallelujah. Let's read in Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 2:10 through 11. "Anyone you forgive, I also forgive. And what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes." Sometimes it helps us to decide to forgive others when we release them by holding. Sometimes we just want to hold on to unforgiveness. I've counseled with many people that do not want to forgive someone. You know, and I pray for them because Jesus clearly said, if you don't forgive, then you're not forgiven. Amen. It's like, if you want to be forgiven and set free, then you have to forgive that other person. That doesn't mean that that other person walks free, but it does mean that you're releasing that person to God, and God will take care of that situation. You see, we try to take care of the situations. We want to make someone hurt as bad or worse than what they hurt us. And so we'll hold on to unforgiveness, but it just hurts us because when we hold on, we're not forgiven. So here's a forgiveness prayer. If you'd like to pray it, you can read it out loud with me. Father, you have made it clear that you require me to forgive. You desire the healing and freedom for me that forgiveness brings. So today, I choose to forgive all who have set me up to enter into sin and all who have hurt me. I choose to release them, each and every one. I let go of all judgments against them, and I let go of all punishments for them I have harbored in my heart. I turn all of this and all of them over to you. Holy Spirit, I thank you for working forgiveness into my life and for giving me the grace I need to forgive and for continuing to enable me to forgive. In Jesus' name, amen. And so those people who sinned against you, those people who hurt you, people who set you up to sin, forgive them. Forgive them. Let them go today. Give them to God. Just in your own mind, just give them to God. God said, vengeance is mine. I will repay. So you let them go. And as I've been talking to you about ungodly soul ties, I'm sure God has brought some thoughts, some people to your hearts, and we're going to pray this prayer. And you don't have to say their names out loud, but you can say their names in your heart. The Lord hears you. But we're going to pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, I submit myself completely to you. I confess all of my emotional and sexual sins as well as my ungodly soul ties. I choose to forgive each person that I have been involved with in any ungodly way. I ask you, Lord, to forgive me for my sin that resulted in ungodly soul ties. And so right here, I just want you to pause, close your eyes, and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Thank you, Jesus. Let's read on. Lord, I receive your forgiveness. Thank you for forgiving me and for cleansing me. At this point, let's just stop right there. It's always important. We can just rush over that, or we can sit and receive. Receive God's forgiveness. Receive God's cleansing. Let him wash you. Let him wash you. He wants to wash. He wants to restore. Thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. Can you thank him? Forgiveness is such a gift. Such a gift. We can't earn it. God just simply gives it to us when we repent. So So thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for cleansing us this morning. Now, this next one's really important. Let's read it. I choose to forgive myself and no longer to be angry at myself, hate myself, or punish myself. Let's just wait a minute. Think about what we just prayed. We choose that. We choose it. So when the thoughts come back to be angry at yourself or you want to harm yourself or punish yourself, you have to go back to, I choose. I choose. I am choosing by my own free will to forgive myself. I forgive myself. God forgave me. So who am I not to forgive myself? Am I bigger and better than God? Do I know more than God? Absolutely not. God forgave me. And now I forgive myself. And we're on the last parts of this. Let's go on. Lord, I break my unholy soul ties with, and then you just let the Lord show you. I release myself from him, her, and I release from me. As I do this, Lord, I pray that you would cause him or her to be all that you want him or her to be, and that you would cause me to be all that you want me to be. Lord, please cleanse my mind from all the memories of ungodly unions, so I am totally free to give myself to you, and if you're married, to my spouse. I renounce and cancel the assignments of all evil spirits attempting to maintain these ungodly soul ties. Let's just pause right here. Father, we just take authority over false accusation and condemnation. We break your power by the power of the blood of Jesus, and we command you out of the people of God. False guilt. I take authority over a spirit of false guilt, and I command you to loose the people of God. Go in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oversensitivity. I take authority over you and command you out in Jesus' name. If that's you, you just need to agree with that and tell that thing to leave you. Anger. Anger from abandonment. Feelings of being abandoned as a child. Father, we take authority over you, spirit of abandonment. It's like an orphan spirit. There was no one there to help you. You felt like you had to do everything yourself and you were just a child. We take authority over that orphan spirit, the spirit of abandonment and rejection. We command you out in the name of Jesus. Loose the people of God. Loose your children today. Set them free in Jesus' name. Anxiety and everything associated with it. The fear, the false responsibility, the fatigue that goes with it. The nervousness, the restlessness. We take authority over it in Jesus' name and we say, go in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. You have no right to stay in the people of God. Father, I thank you that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, cleansed and sanctified. by the precious blood of Jesus. We break the power of this demonic oppression off the people of God. We break off these limitations. And whatever the Lord is speaking to you personally, break that limitation off of you. Don't take it into this next season. This is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has come upon us. And He wants us free to do the work that He has done. We labor with Jesus Christ to do the work that He has already began in the earth. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Take a deep breath and blow out. A lot of times as these things leave us, it might just be a slight manifestation, might just be a yawn. You might belch, pass gas. You never know. Hallelujah. Just let it go. Okay, let's finish the prayer. Lord, thank you for restoring my soul to wholeness. Let me walk in holiness, in your grace. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. So, Father, we thank you that today you have broken limitations off of us, Lord. As we sat here today in your presence, we thank you, Lord, that you have set us free and you've cut off all the ungodly soul ties that we have had in the past, Lord, whether sexual, emotional, abusive. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you have cut it off. Everything that was assigned to us, every demon, every dysfunctional spirit that was assigned to us because of those connections, we command them to go in Jesus' name. You go in Jesus' name. Go in the name of Jesus. Go in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And Father, right now, I call back to the people of God, those listening, those sitting in this place, the scattered parts of their souls that were stolen. I call them back in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, that the angels of the Lord go and they gather those pieces and bring them back to make them whole, to make them at one again, to set them at one again. Lord, that their soul will prosper in this season, Lord, that they will be strong, Lord, that they will be able to make the right decision. And Lord, we thank you for it. Just let God bring back to you what the enemy stole. Let him bring it back. Lord, I'm ready to receive all that the enemy stole from me. Bring it back in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In closing, I just want to remind you that Jesus said, I've given you all authority over all the power of the enemy. So when you have authority, you have the jurisdiction to legislate over the power of the enemy. The power of the enemy is strong. It's that same dunamis power that we read about that the Holy Ghost gives us, dunamis power. Well, Satan has a power too, and it's the same Greek word. But Jesus said, I give you authority. I give you the force, the capacity, the freedom, the mastery, the jurisdiction, the liberty to take authority over that. I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. Don't come in and tell me the devil's beating you up. That is not a testimony. Hallelujah. Because I will tell you, you have authority over that. Where's the open door in your life? Come on, it's time to grow up and exercise what Jesus gave his life for, to set us free, to set our family members free, to bring our prodigal children back into the family, back into the fold, back into the house of the God. Thank you, Jesus. You have authority. Tell someone close to you, look in their eyes and say, you have authority. You have authority. You've got it. Hey, I got it. I've got it. Hallelujah. I'm going to turn this back over to Gabe. He's right here. He didn't go anywhere. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being such a good audience this morning. And I pray God continues to do that work in you, that you take this. The notes are online. The message will be online. You can listen to it again. You can take these notes. You can pray them with other people. That's why I put all the prayers right in there, because we're an equipping church so that you can do the work of the ministry. Amen.